Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from Psalms 112. Psalms 112, beginning with verse 1, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Praise the Lord! How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in His house, and His righteousness endures forever. Light arises in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and compassionate and righteous. It is well with the man who is gracious and lends. He will maintain his cause in judgment. For he will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is upheld. He will not fear until he looks with satisfaction upon his adversaries. He has given freely to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted in honor. The wicked will see it and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked will perish. I hope that you were looking for songs as we read our Psalms reading for this week. We read from, Psalms 106 through Psalms 112. Next week, we're going to read the entire 119th Psalm. So get ready this week. We're going to start with 113 and read to the completion of 119. But there is a psalm that I'm not going to deal with as far as the lesson is concerned in 108 that I want us to turn to, and it's Song 91 from Psalms 108. Hymn number 91, and this is verses 3 through 5 of Psalms 108.
I will give thanks to Thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises to Thee among the nations, for Thy steadfast love is great.
Guess that we'll have some songs from Psalms 119 whenever we get into that next week. How good is your reputation? Do you know? Is it important to be reputable? In the Orient, they have a phrase for it, saving face. And it's so important that their lives often depend upon their reputation. They have a system in the Orient, many of those cultures do, where if they have lost face, then they don't feel like they need to continue living. In this particular passage that we're going to look at here in Psalms 112, I think we have the secret given to us for a good reputation. And it's a single verse. Psalms 112, verse 4. If you haven't looked at this verse closely in your reading this week, I would encourage you to even commit this verse to memory, because it contains within it the definition of someone who is upright. And so we're going to kind of flesh this out, looking at the entire psalm as well. We're going to kind of flesh this out so that we can examine ourselves in light of this particular verse to answer the question, what kind of reputation do I have? Verse 4. Light arises in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and compassionate and righteous. The Hebrew term for upright is yosher, and it stands for someone who is straight, who is level, who is pleasing, who lives in a correct manner. And we can see even from the very first part of this particular Psalms that this upright person that's being defined has faith. Look at the first verse. Praise the Lord, how blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. Reputations come and go, and people of good reputation can fall out with those people of the world and become pariahs, especially if societal views change. What once might have been looked up to is no longer. Where is a reputation steadfast and sure? In the Lord. And so the psalmist defines for us a man who delights in the commandments of the Lord, who holds God up on a pedestal. And then he defines that man as being upright. He's straight. He's level. He's confident. He is one who can be counted upon. He is pleasing and correct. Well, the question naturally comes to me then, am I an upright person? Who am I trying to please? Upon whom does my reputation hinge for judgment? As Christians, who do we look to? It's God, isn't it? It's Christ. It's what's revealed in the Scriptures. And so the measure by which I look at my reputation should be more to what God sees in me than what others see. But as we're going to see in our lesson tonight, that's not the sole consideration. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, as the qualifications for elders were being described, listen to this, think reputation. And this is someone in the church who's being appointed or selected as a leader. I'm just going to read this one verse, 1 Timothy 3, verse 2. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, and able to teach. Boil it down, what does that say? An elder must be one of good reputation. But who's defining that reputation? The husband of one wife, hospitable, apt to teach what? Well, God's Word. We know who the definition is coming from through the Holy Spirit. It's coming directly from God. That to be pleasing and to be correct is in the standard of what God has delivered. And so clearly, here in Psalms 112, the upright are not the uptight. The upright are ones who fear the Lord and delight in His commandments. I love to elk hunt, and I like it especially because I have a place, and some of you have shared this place with me, I have a place where I just sit and watch the sunrise. You get out there early enough, you're still there when you have to have a flashlight if the moon's not bright, and you sit down in a spot And it's a panoramic view of the valley toward the east. And invariably at this time of year, you watch the sun come up. First, there's the stars, and there's maybe just a little bit of a hint, but not always even a hint of the breaking of the dawn. But then it all begins to change. And if there's a little bit of cloud cover in the sky, then it lights up with the rose and deep red tints. I just can't hardly help but take a picture, which is not a really good idea because my flash on the camera is automatic, and sometimes it goes off. And I think, well, that told every elk in the neighborhood where I'm sitting. But the darkness becomes light. Look at this verse. Light arises in the darkness for the upright. You've had epiphanies. You know, Ford used to have a better idea and it was a light bulb. No, that's just the way they symbolized it. But they had that light bulb that would blink. An epiphany is when it dawns upon you that that's the answer to the questions that I have. Light arises in the darkness for the upright. Why? Because the upright have the mind of God. The New Testament defines it as having the mind of Christ. That simply means I see things more clearly because I see things as God sees them. Now, that doesn't mean that that's some supernatural gift, although it is given to us by a supernatural power. But what it means is I can see what God sees with regards to ethics, with regards to morals, with regards to relationships, with regards to business and service. And if I am seeing things as God sees them, then I do know right from wrong, correct? I do know what's to be avoided and what's to be embraced, because in light of God's guidance, bing, it hits me. This is that which is godly. This is not. Now, the dilemma quite often, honestly, is not whether I know right from wrong. It's whether I act upon what I know as what's right from wrong. And I think even in our world today, people have trouble living up to their convictions. Do you know what we call that? Sin. And we all suffer from that affliction, don't we? But the upright fears the Lord and delights in His commandments, so that he that is desirous to have God's characteristics present within his life ceases to live in darkness. You can see where you're walking. You don't stumble around, and you understand the direction. You're living with purpose, and that purpose is to please God. And, as we're going to study, live in such a way that you are a blessing for those that are around you as well. And so I couldn't even get these three words on one side of the sign out there. Gracious, compassionate, and righteous. I had to change compassionate because it was too long a word to get it up there. I had to change compassionate to loving. So that's why it's a little different out there on the sign. But what do those three words mean? Do they define me? Or are they things that I must strive better to obtain? I'll tell you, it's the latter. To be gracious is to be like God. We have a song in our songbook that I've asked Danny to lead for us. And in the song is the phraseology, "The Lord be gracious unto you." And so as Danny comes up and leads this song, it's hymn number 612, I want you to try to define graciousness. What does it mean? Because the upright have the light dawn upon them because they are gracious. What does it mean to be gracious? 612.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. And give you peace. The Lord. Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Be gracious, the Lord be gracious, gracious unto you. Amen. 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 Amen.
You may not realize it, but you have just given the prayer of Aaron for the people of God. This is from Numbers chapter 6, beginning with verse 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Aaron, as the high priest, was commanded by God to give this blessing to the people. What is it to have the graciousness of God? Simply put, it's to have his presence. May his face shine upon us. May he bless us. The Lord be gracious. Without God's grace, we couldn't stand in his presence, could we? Without God's grace, we are unworthy of even thinking of having a relationship with him. So the upright are gracious in the sense that God has been gracious to us. Look again, this is back to Psalms 112, and you'll see the graciousness of the upright coming out in his benevolence, being a blessing to others. Verse 5, Psalms 112. It is well with the man who is gracious and lends. He will maintain his cause in judgment. Then verse 9, he has given freely to the poor. What does it say about being gracious? Well, it's that old adage that your mother used to say. You have been blessed so that you can be a blessing. God has given things to us so that we might grant those blessings to others. It's never been meant for us to hoard and to keep only for ourselves what we have been given. It's always been that we should have an attitude of being self-sacrificing so that when the poor cry out, we hear their prayer. This is from Exodus chapter 22 and verse 27. As God was warning his people, they had a policy of taking collateral. You know what collateral is? You go to the bank and you want a loan and they say, what's your collateral? And you say, well, I own my car. They say, are you making payments? No, I own my car outright. Do you own any land? Yeah, I own land. Okay, then we'll give you the loan. Collateral backs up, right? Well, under the Old Testament, you think about how often they were nomads. What a wanderer might have by way of collateral would be the clothes on his back. And so a man might come up to someone who is wealthier than him and say, I need a loan. And he say, what will you give me for collateral? How do I know you're going to pay me back? And he said, here's my coat. And he had given him his coat. Well, God had a law for that. And that's what's being included here in Exodus chapter 22 and verse 27. For that is his only covering. It is his cloak for his body. What else shall he sleep in? And it shall come to pass when he cries out to me, I will hear him, for I am gracious. And what God was basically doing was saying, you be very careful about using that collateral to the point that it puts the man's life in jeopardy. And what he had a law for was, You don't keep his coat past sundown. Else what? He's going to cry out to me, and I will become the gracious one, and I will make certain that his cries are heard. What does it mean to be gracious? To take care of others. To be a blessing to them. Light arises in the darkness for the upright. First characteristic of an upright person is he is gracious. He's a blessing to those that are around him. Reminiscent of that first series of qualifications for an elder. One who is reputable. One who is hospitable. The husband of one wife, he is faithful. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. But an upright man is also loving. He is compassionate. And that's basically what this term means, is this is a man who cares about others more than he cares about himself. The plea of the poor come to his ears, and he is willing to lend. The situation of the widow or of someone who is facing the court system comes to him, and he judges rightly. Because he has a heart that says, it's not about me. I am God's, and what I am here to do is to represent God, to be his hands, to be his eyes, to be his ears, so that when those who are in need come to me, they can count on me to be one who responds appropriately. Now, sometimes we can be that way easy enough for our relatives, although that's not always easy, our friends, our fellow citizens. But like Jonah, sometimes we forget just how far that boundary goes, and we draw it a little tighter than what God does. You remember why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh? Because the Assyrians were the sworn enemies of the Israelites. And we think Jonah is in a period of time that's about 100 years prior to the fall of the northern kingdom to the Assyrians. And that Jonah had enough political savvy that he knew the Assyrians were an enemy and someday would be oppressive to them. So when God came to Jonah, we don't exactly know what was in Jonah's mind, other than he didn't want the Assyrians to be saved. He wanted them wiped off the map. This was Jonah's nuclear code, his button. And so when God said, I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to preach to them, Jonah says, it ain't happening. And he jumps in that ship and heads the other way. Now, is Jonah being compassionate? Loving? Seeing what's best for another, regardless of the cost or whether he's going to be a... No. Jonah's thinking linear. He's thinking politics. Jonah is thinking saving his own skin and the skin of his people. But that's not how God is. Nor is the upright man drawing such lines in the sand as when Jesus was asked, who is my neighbor? And what story did he tell? He bridged the borders of nationality, didn't he? He first talked about how the priest and the Levite didn't respond to this man who had been beaten up by robbers and left in the way, but the one who came along, and we call that the story of the Good Samaritan. That's a blending of nationalities. A Samaritan was part Jew, but he was of the area of Samaria. That's exactly where the Assyrians infiltrated the people of the Jews, cursed their bloodlines with foreign blood. The Samaritans represented a mongrel. In fact, they were called dogs by Jews because they were not of the true heritage of Abraham. They had been contaminated. And yet, in the story of the Good Samaritan, what was God saying? Love your neighbor as yourself. Who's my neighbor? Well, it's beyond nationality. We must get beyond the concepts of man and to see with the eyes of God that every soul is of worth and of value. The upright is gracious. The upright is compassionate. He desires to help, to lift up, to apply the characteristics of God to himself. And that song that we sang from Psalms 108, the steadfast love of the Lord is great unto the heavens. Let us give thanks to him for his willingness to love us. So how are we doing on our reputation? Do you desire to be upright? Then you must fear God and love his commandments. You must be gracious, lending, giving, being a blessing to those that are around you. And you must above all be compassionate toward others. But you remember that question that Jesus was asked? What's the greatest commandment? And you may already be well ahead of me, but I'm basically preaching that sermon again today. What is the greatest commandment? And what Jesus was asked for is boil down the 636 laws in the Old Testament, or however many they are, boil down all of those laws to one. Well, Jesus boiled it down to two. But what was the first one? Love God. Hear the word compassionate? Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Compassionate is the hinge word between graciousness, being a blessing to my fellow man, and righteousness in a right relationship with God. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Would you be of good reputation? The Bible is resplendent with this theme. You can't see yourself as here being for yourself. That's not your purpose. Someone who selfishly endeavors to build their own bank account at the expense of others, or excluding others from that which they have gathered together, is still walking in the darkness. Light arises in the darkness for the upright, for they are gracious, compassionate, and righteous. They see relationship as more important than material wealth or goods. Do we need that lesson? You say, no, I don't need that. Yeah, we need that lesson. We need to be reminded, don't we? That life is but for a moment. James says, we're like a mist, a vapor that's here for a little while and then vanishes away in James chapter 4. And when we begin to dictate to ourselves what life should be, that we're going to go here or there and buy and sell and get gain, James says, wait a minute, you don't know what tomorrow holds. You should say instead, if the Lord wills, I will do this or that. Light arises in the darkness for the upright, for he is gracious and compassionate and righteous. I have a definition for righteous that I'm sure is oversimplified, but my view of righteousness is not being perfect. My view of righteousness is being in a right relationship with God. I get there not by being perfect, but by being forgiven. And you do too. Righteousness is a gift. Because of Christ dying upon the cross in my place, his blood covers my debt. There's God lending to the poor. I'm the poor one. There's God paying a debt he does not owe. There's God using his power to deliver those who cry out to him. And righteousness simply means that I'm doing my best to walk with God, but it's all because of his grace. By grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Who's talking there in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8? That's the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul saying that it's not by any of my doings that I get there. I can't be perfect. I am saved by God's grace through my faith in him, but then I am saved for a reason. For we are his workmanship. Verse 10 of that Ephesians 2 passage, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that we should walk therein. Works that have been appointed by God beforehand. Do you believe God has a plan for you? He does, whether you believe it or not. He has a purpose for you. You are in this spot at this time at the age that you are with the talents that you have or perhaps you think don't have. God has made you exactly as he intended. Now, I don't know if you're a pair of pliers or a screwdriver or a hammer, but you're a tool in his box. Your task is to understand, I am God's to be used by him and then be used by him in whatever fashion you can find that brings him glory. Because the upright don't walk in darkness. The epiphany has hit them, and they love both man and God. They are gracious, compassionate, and righteous. Do you hear the cry of those that are around you? Does God hear yours? I think he does. I think it's evident that God loves us. Turn with me to hymn number 53. Hymn number 53. First verse.
Though so, hear me when I call, O God, my righteousness. Unto thee I come in weakness and distress. Hold my trembling hand, lest helpless I should fall. Oh, hear me, Lord, hear me. Oh, hear me when I call.
We may have experienced times when we think God wasn't listening. Job did. And yet, what did Job discover by the end? That God had heard every word, and he held accountable those friends of Job who had misrepresented him. And he told Job, Job, you're speaking of things that you don't know about. Who is this that enters my counsel without wisdom, speaking words without wisdom? So we take away from that, if we fear the Lord and obey his commandments, the understanding that sometimes I may not comprehend why things happen the way that they do. But I can have confidence that he always hears, and always what is best is taking place. For the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. He works all things together for good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. I want to close with a New Testament passage. This is from Galatians 6 and verse 10. Thinking again about this that we've read from Psalms 112 and verse 4, light arises in the darkness for the upright, for they are gracious, compassionate, and righteous. Paul says simply in Galatians 6 and verse 10, so then, as you have opportunity, do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. Isn't the theme resounding? Love God. Love your neighbor. Fear the Lord and obey his commandments. And then you don't have to worry about your reputation, for you will have pleased the one that counts, regardless of how the world views your life. As we stand and as we sing.